Good evening. I'm Tom Hewitt here with a KUAC Newsminer update. Tuesday's successful missile test by North Korea made Alaska the only U.S. state within theoretical range of that nation's fast-growing missile program. North Korea's leaders have boasted for years their nation had the capacity to attack the United States with nuclear weapons. Tuesday's missile test was the first that U.S. officials have described as an intercontinental ballistic missile, a long-range projectile with the capacity to strike the United States, or at least the 49th state. But several technical analyses on Wednesday questioned whether North Korea is capable of putting a nuclear warhead on its new Hwasong-14 missile, whether a warhead could survive re-entry into the atmosphere, and whether North Korea is willing to take the extreme step of using such a weapon. According to a much-cited blog post from David Wright with the Union of Concerned Scientists, the missile in Tuesday's tests flew for 37 minutes along a steep trajectory and landed a mere 578 miles from its launch point. Wright projected the missile would have a range of 4,160 miles if fired along a flatter path. This range would include Guam and nearly all of Alaska. The range doesn't include the main Hawaiian Islands. The presence of Alaska within North Korea's potential target radius played prominently in much U.S. media coverage of the missile test. South Korean Defense Minister Han Min-koo on Wednesday estimated the new North Korea missile has a greater range of 4,350 to 4,970 miles. Alaskans can take some comfort that there's more to launching a nuclear strike using a missile than hitting the target with the missile. Speaking to South Korea's parliament Wednesday, Han said North Korea had not demonstrated it has developed a nuclear warhead that can survive the more than 12,000-degree temperatures that an ICBM experiences as it re-enters the atmosphere from space. Additionally, while North Korea has conducted underground nuclear bomb tests, the country has not demonstrated it can make a warhead small enough to mount on a missile. Popular mechanics weapons writer Joe Papalardo wrote Wednesday that it may be premature to call North Korea's new missile an ICBM. Papalardo described the most recent test as an old missile with a second stage grafted to it to extend the range. He also highlighted the challenges of miniaturizing and hardening nuclear warheads on long-range missiles. Beyond the technical limitations, there's also the larger issue of whether North Korea would use a nuclear weapon at the risk of retaliation from the United States. When the Alaska legislature passed the state budget on June 22nd, it also voted for the first time to cut money for permanent fund dividends. As Alaska Public Media and KTUO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, dividend reductions affect some Alaskans more than others.
Ben Nikuzik needs a snow machine to get around Hooper Bay, an 1,100-person city on Alaska's Bering Sea coast. He was planning on using his permanent fund dividend in October to make a down payment on a new one.
A lot of the families rely on the PFD, so they can purchase the big ticket items, especially on the good years.
And 2017 was going to be a good year. Years of investment growth were on track to push PFDs past $2,300. Without adjusting for inflation, that's the highest in the fund's history. But the legislature cut funding to 1,100. His household has 11 people, including his children's families and two foster kids. That means they'll lose more than $13,000. That's close to half of their household income.
For people like us, that's a big deal.
Hooper Bay is in the Kusilfax census area, where the average loss of household income would be more than 10%. That's the highest loss in the state. Juneau residents would lose 3%, the lowest loss. Nikuzik says he's frustrated the legislature enacted the funding cut without passing a plan to balance the state's budget in the future.
I wish they'd get their act together.
State Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton was a state representative when the state started PFDs in 1982. He says lawmakers knew then that it would be difficult to reduce dividends once they were started. Cotton expresses sympathy for residents from lower income portions of the state who feel they're carrying the burden for balancing the budget.
But if you reduce or eliminate dividends as the only measure, then that's not a fair approach.
House members say the plan and future PFD cuts should depend on adding oil and gas taxes and a broad-based tax. Senators reject that approach and say a permanent fund plan should be passed on its own. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Officials with the Federal Bureau of Land Management have temporarily closed a campground on the Taylor Highway near Chicken due to black bears behaving dangerously around campers. BLM spokesman Craig McKay says the agency closed the Walker Fork campground Wednesday at milepost 82, about 10 miles east of Chicken. This is after repeated visits by a young black bear. McKay says BLM has repeatedly tried to haze or repel the bear with such methods as shooting it with non-lethal ammunition. McKay says the bear apparently has become habituated to human food and has shown dangerous behavior around people at the campground. On Monday, the bear tore open several tents and attempted to get into recreational vehicles. McKay says the campground will remain closed until the bear leaves the area. If he doesn't, McKay says BLM will take other measures, which could include capturing or killing the bear. For more on tonight's stories and others, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I'm Tom Hewitt.